Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Genesis chapter 4. We've been teaching what I've been calling great stories of the Bible. Some people say the New Testament explains the Old Testament. Well, you had to have an Old Testament to explain in the New Testament. People remember stories. I remember stories, you know. So the stories of the Bible are full of truths and principles that we can learn from today. So we're going back and just looking at some of those stories. Through some of the teaching I heard this week and the Lord ministering to me, I realized I got to go back to Cain and Abel and talk about it a little bit more. Now, in more of an overview fashion, you know, we saw five or six principles, and I mentioned one, the first one, and we're going to go back and focus on that principle. And remember, it's the word that brings you life. It's the word that changes your life. It's the word that produces harvest. You should care less what I think. You should also care less what you think or what mama thinks or whomever. It's not what people think. It's what the word says. And we all believe we understand some things from the word, but you have to remain always open-minded and open-hearted to be changed with further discovery from the word. In other words, what I'm saying, you're always learning. Yeah. And just because something was taught for maybe hundreds of years doesn't make it true if you find something from the word that all of a sudden enlightens you and you go, huh, I guess that wasn't always true. It's true until you find it in the word, right? Yeah. So we have to remain always open-minded, always open in heart. It's not about the power of personalities who brother so-and-so says this and brother so-and-so says that. That's not what it's about. What did brother Jesus say? Amen. And he did call himself our brother, so I didn't insult Jesus to call him brother Jesus. So this is what we're about, is the word. What does the word say? Now, the few minutes that I have to teach, think about that. This has been bumming me out a few weeks here thinking about this thought, and I'm getting it in its right perspective. But I thought, you know, some folk, they come to church and expect me in 30 or 40 minutes once a week to change their life. That's a little bit of pressure. For me to change your life, preacher, change my life, and do it in, oh, can you make 25 minutes? That's a tall order. I can't do that. But the word, in a moment, in an instant of revelation, can change your life forever. So if in those 40 minutes I can point you to the word and expound on the word and show you some things from the word, your life can be changed. Now, companion with that, I hope that our time together is not the only word that you're getting all week long. You should be feeding on the word. You should be reading the Bible. You should be listening to some teachings and so on. Because it's the word that changes you, and you're only going to change as fast as you have intake of the word. And if it's not coming in, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, who's the revealer and teacher, he can't teach you what it means if you didn't even see it, didn't even read it, didn't even hear it. And didn't Paul, the Apostle Paul, declare in Romans, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there must be an occasion of hearing for the Holy Ghost to bring you revelational light. And you go, oh, I see it. And your life changes. You had to have the occasion of hearing, or that wouldn't have happened. Well, if God wanted me to know, he'd just stop me on the side of the road and tell me something. He can do that, and he has done that. He will do that. But most of the time, you need to avail yourself to the word, and there's an opportunity for life to flow into you. Amen. So we're going to the word with that understanding that life can flow into you right now. Sometimes the word will correct religious thinking. And be careful about getting worked up about it. I don't know. Take it and consider it. Chew on it. Say, Lord, what about that? Is that right? Do I need to change my attitude or my thought on it? I've been changed so many times by the word. And I'm still being changed by the word. So Cain and Abel. Let's talk about Cain and Abel here again. Let's read the story first. Genesis 4 and verse 1. Now Adam knew his wife, knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And then hear this part. Pay attention to this particularly. This is what we're going to talk about because this will answer a lot of questions. It says next, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Or that's another way of saying his attitude changed. Verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? As we pointed out last time, God is approaching him to give him opportunity to repent. And the outcome could be very different from what it was if Cain would repent. And one of the principles we said is the Lord will always approach you for repentance first. And if you don't, it changes the course of action. Right? So, 7 again. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. Verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So here we have in the scriptures the first murder, the first outburst of hatred, the first showing of some of the worst of human nature. So all of us, of course, we know very well where the story ends up, but we need to look closer at the core problem. As I said last time, we pulled 5 or 6 principles, something like that, in an overview. But what is the core of this story? Or said another way, you know, you tell perhaps children's stories, and the moral of the story is. And that's one of the reasons you tell children's stories and read them storybooks. There's a lesson in there, right? So the moral of the story. What's the moral of the story? Well, obvious, don't murder. I'm not so sure that's the core of the story or the moral of the story. So we might speculate, is it don't kill? Is it deal with your anger better? Is it mind your own business and don't worry about what somebody else is doing? I mean, all of those things could be taken from the story, but is that the core of the story? Repent quickly? Well, yeah, that's there too, but is it the core of the story? No. We have to look at what was the catalyst, what was the beginning of this, what was the problem that made it all show up, what was it? It was a dispute. It was hatred. Well, what was the cause of Cain's hatred? What lit this whole thing off? Some are saying offering. Everything was fine until the boys made offerings. Jealousy came up. Yeah, sure, sure. Obedience, yeah. Everything you guys are throwing out are all part of it. But the offending occasion was an offering. What ticked off Cain was that Abel was accepted and he was not. And the Bible tells us clearly why Abel was accepted and Cain was not. If you look back again there, it says in verse 4, second sentence, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. The offerings are separate things from the persons. Not necessarily so. We know the Bible teaches us God is no respecter of persons. He loves all the same, right? Yet God treated, handled, and respected differently, not on the basis of person, but on the basis of what? The other thing listed, offering. Now, this may be a little bit hard to swallow. Are you telling me this, in God's mind and heart, was all about the offering? Nope, I'm not telling you that. The Bible is. Amen. The Word is. I just can't believe God would make that big of a deal over an offering. He did. Now, we can worship the God of our minds and thought and beliefs, or God of the Scriptures. Everybody creates an image of what they feel God is or believe God is, and sometimes it needs to be adjusted. Amen. The first murder was over an offering. And do you know, Jesus says, if you have hatred in your heart, you've committed murder, right? It's the same as committing murder. Do you know people are still being murdered over offerings? You want to talk about something that stirs up trouble in the church world, just talk about offerings. Just get on the subject of offerings. There are countless churches that won't mention the offering. Oh, there's a box in the back. We're not asking you for giving or anything like that, but if you just want to, you know. You don't talk about offerings in church. You don't talk about money. Yet this was the basis of God respecting and receiving one and not the other. If I love you, and if I want to help you, I will bring you truth. If I'm afraid of your opinion of me, I'll avoid the subject. Amen. Now, I don't like being disliked. Nobody does. But it's going to fall to someone, and God has charged his preachers with declaring the word. Actually, it falls to all of us. Declare the word. Not your thoughts, but declare the word. Amen. I don't like all this talk about money. What if God talks about it a lot? What if it's in the Scriptures? And what if by avoiding it, we don't tell the truth? And we actually harm people rather than hurt them. Well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Sometimes you'll save a life by hurting feelings. Right? Anybody ever parent some children? Sometimes you hurt their feelings. But you're saving them. Isn't that true? Yeah. Is an offering that big of a deal to God? I'm going to show you it is. And there's a reason for it. It's the offering here, the offerings, Cain's and Abel's, that set all of these events into motion. It's the root cause. It's the core of the story. The offering is the point of contention. It's the cause of offense. It's the stumbling block. It still is in churches today. It's the stumbling block, and I'll show you scriptures. It's the revealer of the heart. This is what gets people so mad about it when somebody talks about it. It reveals where you're at. I'm just as good as you. You think you're all something special because of your offerings. Doesn't say anywhere in our story that Abel bragged to Cain that his offering was better. Right. Cain got angry at Abel. Right. God received his offering, Abel's, but not Cain's. Now we know for sure. God equally loved Cain as he did Abel, but he did not equally approve of them. And he did not equally receive them. And this is something that people will fight. God receives me just the same way as he does you. Maybe not. God receives me just as much as he does you. Maybe not. God may be looking for a change in my heart. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. He loves. But how he receives from us and how he approves of where we are and what we're doing is a different thing from being loved. Many times the Lord has told me, you know, concerning a lot of scenarios in life, the parable of the prodigal son, in that parable is everything I need to know. He said that to me a number of times. And for instance, in that parable, you have the father not approving of the son, the wayward son's lifestyle, yet waiting for his return and looking and longing for him. You also see the father, after the son ran out of money, didn't send him a new supply of money, didn't bless him in his lifestyle, didn't enable him to keep on going. And the son only received what he needed in his life when he repented and returned. Was that son loved? Every day he was gone, that son was loved. But the father did not go to him and did not bring him the money he needed to continue the way he was. In other words, the blessing was gone. There's no blessing on that, yet the father loved him. It's the same with us. If we're wayward in some place, in some area, whether we know it or not, God's loving on us, but he's awaiting a return so the blessing can return. Amen. So he loves equally, but he does not receive and approve or bless equally. And an offering was part of this. Let's look at some additional scriptures to support this. Let's go to Hebrews 11:4. And this is exactly the kind of message that the church world says today you don't do. Don't preach like this, you'll lose everybody. Well, I don't know. If you don't preach like this, you may have lost them already, even though they're sitting in the church. Amen. What can I do but preach the word? Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, without talking about what it was and, you know, why it was more excellent and all that, just know here two things. Abel's offering was more excellent, and Abel offered it by faith. An offering that doesn't have faith with it, in it, or require faith to do it, is not more excellent. You see that? I guess I will mention it. He brought his first of the flock and the fat thereof. He brought his first and best. Cain brought just some stuff he had. What made the difference was not what it was. It was some stuff one guy had, and it was the best that the other guy had. God wants your best. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. So again, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness. What is it to obtain witness? That is God speaking about Abel. God is the witness. God made testimony of this offering. We're hearing the testimony today of what happened thousands of years ago. This offering is still being talked about. He obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, the gift, he being dead, Abel, dead, still speaks. The offering is speaking. God is speaking still to this very day. And what is it saying? It's saying here, it is a witness. The witness is saying that Abel was righteous. An offering says that? Yes. An offering says righteous or perhaps not righteous. Well, I gave, and y'all should just be happy I gave something. Tell God that. Right? We receive. Now, here's one that causes me to go, If God won't receive an offering, should I? And if you can't give it in faith with a right heart, should you even bother to give it? If I trust God concerning our church and so on, then we don't need that offering that's not given in faith and is not an excellent offering, because we're trusting God. Yet you feel the money pressure and go, yeah, come on, you know, just everything, come on, come on. And I don't know everybody's heart and so on, and if it's your best and all that kind of thing. So I have no way of saying that. But anyway, an offering testifies whether your acts or you are righteous or not. That's what it says here. The more excellent offering was approved of and testified of by God. God says in response to Abel's offering that he is righteous. And then we understand that to mean, and Cain was not. Was Cain loved? Yes. Was Cain testified of by God as righteous? No. And that's what ticked him off. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Again, God has been very, very good to me. I'd rather tell you the truth and build your life than try to obtain resources from you. And if I love you, I'll tell you the truth, even if it costs money. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. It says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." Stop for a second. Okay, Cain is declared of the wicked one under the influence of Satan, right? When was he under the influence of Satan? When he murdered? Or even before that? I mean, it'd be obvious. You murder somebody, the first murder, oh yeah, he's following the instincts of the devil there for sure. But he may have, even at the time of his offering, been of the wicked one. And he was, and I'll show you from the scriptures. It goes on and says, "As Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? "Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." Now, there may have been other places where this showed up. Yet, as far as the Bible's concerned, it tells us of only one of their works. It all is in an offering. That's it. We don't have any indication of anything else. So as far as God is concerned, the whole sum of the story is this offering, or these offerings. And to say that Abel's works were righteous is talking about his offering. To say that Cain's works were evil, it's not talking about the murder, although that would be added to the list. It's talking about his offering. This is pretty heavy-duty stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Cain brought an improper offering, and this is an evil work. Have you or I ever brought improper offerings? Just knowing human nature, probably yes. Was it in faith? Was it my best? And so on. I'm sure I violated that. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for the ability to repent and change it and do right. Didn't God say to Cain, if you do right, will you not be accepted? So you can fix that real quick. Right? Let's go to Jude, verse 11. You know, criticisms that folks have about you, at least concerning me being pastor of the church, people talk about criticisms they have about me, and eventually I hear them, and they hurt, of course. But this is a common one. He talks about money too much. Well, the Bible does. And we're going to see a couple of scriptures. Money is the measure of your heart. And it's a heart issue, not a money issue. Jude 11, it says, "Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, So some people that are way off track, Jude declares woe to them. They're the same as Cain. Okay, Cain, I'm listening. What about Cain, right? It says, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. So Jude sees the common denominators that was Cain, Balaam, and Korah. So here we have clues as to the motivations and what was in Cain's heart and why his offering was inferior and wrong. What was in Cain's heart? Well, here you see these things: greed and rebellion. Well, I didn't read that in Genesis chapter 4. Well, you're reading it here. Cain's offering was what it was because hidden down in his heart was greed. Hidden down in his heart was rebellion. And those two things will cause you to bring an offering to God, but not your best. Not what's worthy of Him. Greed, you might think, well, I'm not greedy. Greed sometimes is nothing more than this thought that occurs to all of us. Well, if I give that much, I'm not sure I'm going to have enough to pay all the bills and, you know, and so on and so on. And I'm trying to save up for an airplane. And if he asks me to give for my airplane, how am I ever going to get there to an airplane? Well, I can get there with God's blessing, or I can get there the hard way on my own. You see? Well, that's not greed. Yeah, it is. It is. And let me just kill this sacred cow. Oh, I don't believe in all that blessing. I don't need to be wealthy. I don't want any of that stuff. I just want enough to take care of my family. And you greedy thing. Really? You don't want to take care of anybody but your family? You don't want to help anybody but your house? God blessed us in our house, and I'm not ashamed. In our house, in our family, with partner again, Sandy and I, we own a commercial building now. And it makes money, rental income, businesses, right? Do you know, out of that, we were able to be a blessing. My mom and dad were believing God for a little extra income to make up the difference on some things. We employed them. They work for us in the building. And now the extra income is there. If we weren't prospered beyond just our own needs, could I help them? No. Well, you should just be given to me, brother, if you're so rich. Well, if I wasn't, could I help you? No. And this whole thing about rich people, has a poor person ever hired you? We need some people who have some resources so we can get jobs, yeah. Right? Well, I work for myself. You're doing business with somebody, and they need to have money. Sean, you'd like them to spend $100,000 on the wedding, right? And you'll get a piece of that pie because you'll put out a super, 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 super wedding party for them, right? Amen. Yes. It's greedy to not desire to prosper under God's hand so you can be a blessing. It was declared over Abraham that he would be blessed to be a blessing. So it is wrong to not want, desire, and pursue the blessing of God so that you can bless others. I'm just going to be plain. It's greedy. What we've called greedy sometimes is not. And what we've thought is humble is not. Amen. This is truth. Remember, it's the word that sets you free, not Pastor Dan's personality. You're in trouble there. So greed. Greed was involved in Cain's offering. Well, he brought an offering. Isn't God happy that Cain brought an offering? No. Well, I put something in. Shouldn't you be happy? No. Truth is, it's sort of none of my business. Like Abel, You don't see Abel causing Cain trouble. Now, brother, you ought to be ashamed of that offering you brought. That's not in there in the scriptures, right? I'm not saying you ought to be ashamed of your offering. I'm just declaring the word. You judge yourself. I'll not judge you. Amen. So greed and rebellion. There is one thing in humanity that is the source of all trouble. It's rebellion. I heard the Lord say it to me this way one time, you know, and I've repeated it several times. The greatest danger in our lives is not, this is borrowed from the 60s and 70s, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. We like to get all over somebody that's trouble in adultery or somebody that's an alcoholic or living some certain kind of lifestyle. That is not what's most dangerous to them. What's most dangerous to them is rebellion. And let me tell you, you can find rebellion in people who are all cleaned up concerning drug, sex, and rock and roll. No drug, sex, or rock and roll going on, but rebellion is flaming. Amen. Is it in the church? You betcha. Rebellion against God. They're clean on the outside, but inside, Jesus said it this way, you are full of dead men's bones. Rebellion is the biggest of the big deals. And so we see here, Cain's offering showed his rebellion towards God. Why didn't God receive Cain's offering? To put it in one word, rebellion. It was rebellion. And it's further evidenced, Cain wouldn't repent when given a chance. God came to him and said, hey, do it right, everything will be fine. And he didn't. And he wouldn't. Why? What kept him from getting, you know, if God comes to you and confronts you with something, oh man, backpedal. Just back it up. Right? Cain didn't. I gave what I gave, and that's it. So he was stubborn in his rebellion. All of this is in an offering? Yes. You mean when we gave earlier today, all of that was measured? Yes. Who measured it? Not me. God himself. Did God receive your offering today? Ooh. Jesus, or in the scriptures, it's not a story, it's a factual account, but there was a sinner woman who came to Jesus. She busted in on a private meal. Jesus went to a Pharisee's house to eat, and a woman, who the Bible calls a sinner woman, to be understood as she was prostitute, bust into this private meeting, and she comes up behind Jesus at this dinner party, and she cries all over his feet, makes them wet. She takes her hair and dries his feet. And then she takes a very costly oil. By the way, this happened more than once to Jesus. And there's further descriptions. This story would probably be the same. Alabaster box, very expensive ointment, you know. It's considered to be at least a year's wages in cost. The way she was making a living in terms of money was producing for her. And she had some wealth, but even with wealth, she knew that her heart was broken. And she's just so grateful for Jesus preaching mercy and love and forgiveness. So she makes this very expensive offering and fuss over Jesus. And if you know the story, Simon the Pharisee, he thinks within himself, well, if this man were a prophet and if he would know what kind of woman this is, and he wouldn't be receiving that offering. Jesus knows very well what kind of woman this is, and he is fully receiving this offering. Why? He's not looking at her outward. He's looking at her heart. I want to pick up on this story with Jesus' response to the Pharisee. This is our religious attitude we're confronted with today in our churches as well. Luke 7:44. Actually, Jesus tells the story of two debtors. before we read this. He tells the story of two debtors. One owed a little, one owed a lot. Both were forgiven because they could not pay. And Jesus asks the Pharisee, which one do you suppose loved him more? And the Pharisee says, well, I guess the guy who was forgiven more loves more. And Jesus tells him, you answered rightly. So he's obviously making the comparison, and we'll read his account of this here. But here's a woman who's forgiven much debt. She loves more than the Pharisee, who's clean on the outside, but his heart was wrong. Luke 7:44, then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Now, I'll explain as we go through here a little bit. The custom of the day, because of dirty, dusty streets, sewers in the streets, all of that, open shoes, open sandals was the shoe fashion of the day. The custom was when you came in, you were offered, just as a common courtesy, some water to wash your feet. That'd be the first thing when you want to start unwinding, get your shoes off, wash your feet, right? Common courtesy. So, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. 45, you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. A kiss was a common greeting. You see this today in Middle Eastern culture, you know, the double kiss, each cheek, like that. Men, sure, all the time. It would be equivalent perhaps to our handshake today or the tough guy head nod. You know, that's our greeting, you know, just a head nod, something like that. Sup? You know, that kind of has replaced the handshake in some places, but a handshake, just a common greeting for a friend that you weren't in contention with. Well, Jesus got no kiss from Simon, so no customary greeting. Verse 46, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. The anointing of the head with oil, there's various reasons for it, but they would do the hair and comb it out with oil. Dry climate, real dry climate, be a little bit different. And those of you that are of African descent, if I put oil in my hair, we got a mess, but y'all tend to need it, from what I understand, quite regularly, right? I know we went with Portia down in New Orleans, and she was saying, oh, this is so great, having enough humidity in the air. It did something for her hair, and I'm thinking, I'm drenched in sweat and can't wait to get out of here. You know, it just doesn't work for me. So just consider that. This is common courtesy to help people with the little things that make a difference. You bring a guest into your house, you offer them a drink, water, anything, you know, kick your shoes off, make yourself comfortable, have a chair, have a seat, that kind of thing. These are the common courtesies, and they weren't afforded to Jesus. Yet this woman didn't anoint his head. She was at his feet at a low, low place, you see. So she brings this extravagant, humiliating offering. And so reading on here, verse 47, therefore I say to you, to Simon the Pharisee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. She's afforded being received, and her offering is received. And the testimony of God, the testimony of Jesus, is to this day speaking. All over an offering. Why? The offering of the woman showed her heart. The offering of the Pharisee, what offering? Yeah. Offering of the Pharisee showed his heart. Really, what we're talking about is heart issues, not offerings. It's not the money, it's the heart. But you can't separate the heart from the money. Jesus didn't. The Word of God doesn't. Verse 34, it says in Luke 12, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Obviously, I treasure an airplane in my heart. That's where my money's going. some of my money. Another brother, it might be a motorcycle. For my dad, an antique pickup truck. You know, people, we identify with things. If you're a great football fan, you might drop $300 or $400 or more, maybe a lot more, go into a football game. By the time you buy the, yeah, not anymore. By the time you buy all the, you know, whatever, that goes with a hot dog, $9 or something like that. So, yeah. Your money reveals your heart. What are you talking about? I ain't got none. Even the little that you have, it still shows your priorities. There are people who won't pay the rent, but they'll drink it up at a bar. It reveals the heart, the little that they have. You know, so money talks. What you do with your money tells us everything about you. Jesus said it, where your treasure is, what you treasure, that's what's treasured in your heart. So again, it's a heart issue. It's not a money issue. Think of this. What you love, you give to. I cannot tell my wife, oh, honey, I love you, and then provide no resources to her. Share none of the resources and so on. By the way, married couples, let me just kick another sacred cow. Be real careful with this my money, your money thing. Now, I got a little bit of walking around money in my pocket, and I got an airplane fund, and okay, that's mine. She's got little stashes hidden here and there that's hers, you know, but that's a small part of extra things. Now, y'all took up a birthday offering for her. I don't suspect I'm going to get any of that. Maybe, yeah. She might share with me. She might bless me some. But, you know, I take of things that is especially mine, and yeah. So, yeah, she has a saying, what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine too. Yeah. I refuse to talk of things that way. My money, your money, all that kind of thing. What you love, you give to. I don't keep track of family finances. If she wanted to ruin us, she could, because I am wide open to her. I love her, so the family finances are all accessible to her. And she does a good job with that, so I don't have fears of really going haywire or anything like that. But nonetheless, you give to what you love. Think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And what did he give? First and best. Gave his only begotten son. He gave his first and his best. Why? He loved. And by the way, the scriptures declare this too. If God gave you his first and best, his only son, how much more will he give good gifts? There's several scriptures. I could bury y'all in scriptures today to support all these things, and time just does not permit. There's so many more. So, Cain's offering revealed his heart. He did not love God the same as Abel. Oh man, there's fighting words. Are you saying I don't love God as much as you do? I ain't saying a thing. You can see where this makes people fighting mad. This is why you're not supposed to touch the subject. Y'all think you love God more. Yeah. Oh yeah, you've bumped into this. Oh yeah, it's everywhere. But God, you can see clearly through the scriptures, he respects certain offerings. First, best, it's the right heart, and others he does not receive. And it does not produce blessing in their lives. It didn't produce blessing for Cain. Actually, what he harvested was worse than blessing, right? Cain was so angry at Abel because of the offerings exposed Cain's lack of love for God. Have you ever wondered why people get so ticked off about offerings, why this is such a big deal? It exposes the heart. And once exposed, it makes people angry. And then they do the same thing that Cain did. Rather than repent, Cain directed his anger, born out of his own deficiency, at, who did he direct the anger at? God? No. He directed it at Abel. And folk who are exposed in a lack of love toward God in their offering don't direct their anger at God. Who do they direct it at? The rest of us. They direct it at the brothers. They direct it at preachers. They direct it at someone who makes the mistake of talking like I'm talking today. I'm not naive to think that nobody might be a little bit tweaked at me today, sitting in the room right here, right now. Just open your heart, look at the scriptures and say, God, is this right? What are you saying? Is this right? People still do this today. They attack their brother. But look at this in Deuteronomy 16:16. It says, 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. That kind of like sounds like the gathering of the church. That's how they did it then. There's an equivalent today. We gather at the church. And it says next, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Don't you come without an offering. This was the Lord's command. We like to say, anybody, you just come. Well, I don't have an offering. Well, you just come. It doesn't matter. Well, come on. It does matter. But it's not my job to go in digging in people's pockets. Right? Amen. So we welcome anybody come. But before Almighty God, it would be wise of you to bring an offering. There was a guy that used to come when our church was at another location, downtown Kankakee. He used to come in all the time asking for money. And I finally realized, and I've believed, heard from the Lord, next time he comes, when he asks you for money, I said, you've come into the house of God. Did you bring an offering? It totally baffled him. Huh? What? You want me to give to your church? No, I want you to give to God. You sow seed and you'll reap a harvest. And it upset him. He got angry. And he only came back 2 more times. And from then on, I asked, oh, good to see you. Did you bring an offering for God? Amen. He's a street person, living on the street. I suppose if I gave him something, it probably went into a bottle. But I started, every time he came, I started asking him for an offering. Did you bring an offering? Any amount, anything, I don't care, 1 penny. Do you have an offering for God? He didn't ever. Do you know if he would have sowed any kind of seed? Even me, I probably would ask, have you eaten today? And took him and bought him a meal. I won't buy him a bottle, but buy him some food. Maybe even go buy him some new shoes or something like that. But they tend to sell the shoes for a bottle or something like that. Don't come empty-handed. Go back. We have to add the 17th verse back to where we were. Back to where we were. What was that? Deuteronomy 16:16. Look at verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Doesn't that sound just like Paul saying, let every man give as he purposes in his heart, according to how he's blessed? Isn't it the same thing? God didn't change old covenant, new covenant. It's still the same. So according to how you're blessed, don't come empty-handed. I didn't say that. The Bible did. 1 Samuel 15:22. This is an occasion where Saul went ahead and made an offering. He disobeyed God. They were supposed to kill all of the livestock and so on, and they didn't. They kept the livestock, and Saul thought, well, I'll just offer a great offering before the Lord, and he'll be so impressed with such a great offering that he will receive my offering, right? Well, jumping right in at 22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." God's not impressed with amounts or offerings. You can see here again, it's about the heart. And the offering revealed the heart. Look at this fantastic offering we're given. Nope. God just wanted you to obey him. So that's rebellion again, isn't it? Then verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." It was for this act that Saul lost the kingdom. Heavy-duty stuff involving an offering. And then finally, Hebrews 10:5. And again, I'm just touching some of the scriptures that would illustrate all these things. Hebrews 10:5. Speaking of Jesus, verse 5 says, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said," and this is a quote from Psalms, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." So you can see here, this is Jesus talking about God. You didn't want burnt offerings, you didn't want sacrifices, but you gave me a body. Why? So the body could be sacrificed? Well, it was. But the scripture clearly tells us what the real issue is. The issue is Jesus came to do the will of God, to obey God. And Jesus made an offering. And in his case, what was his offering? His body and his blood. Why was it accepted? Because of the obedient, righteous heart. So again, overall, all these things we've said today, the offering does matter. Why does it matter? It matters because it's the heart. Not the amount. Not what it is. Does God really want money? Or as it said in the verse before, does he really want bloody sacrifices and burnt offerings? No, it's not about burnt offerings. It's about the heart that offers it. Is our offerings important? Oh, 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 how important they are. I've been saying offerings all along, tithe. Is tithe part of this? Well, notice what he said in Malachi, bring the tithe into the storehouse, and he says, I will open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. That tells me the tithe is received by God. And he goes further and says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. If we fail in that, it reveals the heart and it makes the difference between open heaven pouring out blessing or the devourer, the enemy, eating up what we've got. Does the offering, does the tithe and offering matter? Oh, does it matter? I've spoken of blessings and how good God is to me in something that's beyond the usual. You know, I mentioned commercial building. I mentioned airplane. You know, that's perhaps beyond usual, right? That's blessing. Where did it come from? I have brought the tithe into the storehouse for as long as I can remember. And I've given my first and my best time and time and time and time again. And the blessing resides upon me. And he gives me the desires of my heart. Did I always want a commercial building? No, I want income independent of my job so I can be a greater blessing. I'd love nothing more than to not need a paycheck at this church. Amen. Have outside income. Amen. I've got outside income. Some doesn't cover my living expenses, but I'm going toward that. I want to be to where I don't need anything from this church. I could just sow. Amen. People give Joel Osteen a lot of baloney. I think he takes, if I got this information right, he takes no salary from his church. It's just his books he's written. And he's a millionaire, right? Yeah, multimillionaire. God's blessing him. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's how you get it. It's how you get it. It's how you get it that matters. And I just showed you, how do you live in the blessing? Your offering reveals your heart. So, I invite you, don't say a thing to me. I'm not your judge. You don't answer to me. But I invite you to go before Almighty God and have examination day. Right? Go to the doctor, get a checkup. I don't like going to the doctor, get a checkup. Poke and prod and look and all of that, you know, and might not like what I find. Well, that may be true. But it'll help you, right? Towards health. Amen. You agree? Yeah. Father, we just bless you and thank you for your word. Your word brings us life. Your word brings us change, brings us truth. It brings us blessing. So in these things today, we thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher and the guide. And as we go from here, you can bring further illumination and light on the things that I said today. We thank you for all of this today. In Jesus' name, amen.